You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Rebecca Wilcomerson, the Executive Director for Jewish Voice for Peace. Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rebecca, we spoke about maybe about a year and a half ago when you had just launched the campaign to bring Caterpillar into the spotlight and try to get Tia Kreft to divest from them. Before we talk about what happened recently, for the benefit of the listeners, just give them a little bit of background about what is Jewish Voice for Peace and what do you do for them?
Sure. Well, Jewish Voice for Peace is the largest Jewish organization in the United States that functions on the principles of equality, international law, and human rights as we seek to affect the political conversation about what should happen in Israel and Palestine. And I'm JVP's executive director. We have about 120,000 online supporters and about 37 chapters. So we've grown substantially since the last time we talked, Dave.
Wow. And I don't remember exactly how substantially have you grown. Do you remember those numbers were about a year or two ago?
Well, a year or two ago, we actually only had about, I don't remember exactly, but probably between 8 and 10 chapters then, and the list was probably hovering around 100,000, so quite a bit of growth. We've added a rabbinical council, we now have a flourishing youth wing, we've been growing in all kinds of ways.
That's terrific. I have been seeing you in the news a lot more lately, so I guess that's indicative of this. So what happened with Caterpillar and Tia Kreft?
Yeah, well, if you don't mind, I'll go back a little bit in time because there's sort of two parts based on what you said in the introduction. JVP has actually been working on Caterpillar for even longer than you mentioned. We started doing activism in terms of shareholder responsibility, shareholder intervention responsibility, all the way back in 2004. We worked with the Sisters of Loretto. We worked with the U.S. Campaign to End Occupation. We worked with Cindy and Craig Corey, who are the parents of Rachel Corey, who was killed by a Caterpillar bulldozer in 2003, as you may remember, in Gaza. So we've actually been trying from the inside to change Caterpillar's policies around selling to Israel since all the way back in 2004. We actually started the Tia Kreft campaign partially because we felt that direct activism towards Caterpillar was not going to work because Caterpillar, of course, sells bulldozers, among other things. Very few of us are buying bulldozers, so a boycott wasn't exactly something that would be functional for us. And so we were looking for a way to have a little bit more impact in doing an economic pressure campaign. And the many years that Caterpillar had already been targeted, not just by us, but also by human rights organizations like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, made it a very appealing target, but we wanted to find a way to sort of target it by way of a company that would perhaps be more amenable to our arguments. So we hit upon Tia Kreft as one of the largest pensions funds in the United States, whose tagline is finance for the greater good. So they have some commitment to doing their financial investments according to some principles of social justice, although as we later found that was fairly limited, but at the very least they have this sort of tagline and stated sort of marketing orientation towards finance for the greater good. They had actually divested from some companies doing business in the Sudan a few years before, so there was a precedent for the work they had done. And so the campaign, which launched in June 2010 after a long process, asked Tia Kreft to divest from companies that are profiting from the occupation. And in addition to Caterpillar, we also target in particular Elbit, which is an Israeli company, Motorola Solutions, Veolia, which is a multinational based in France, Northrop Grumman, which is a large military company. Recently we've had SodaStream and G4S, the security company. So there's a whole number of companies that Tia Kreft invests in that are profiting from the occupation. Of particular concern to us are Motorola, now Motorola Solutions. It was one company. It's since split into two. So Motorola Solutions, Hewlett-Packard, and Caterpillar are all companies that are in their social choice fund, which is the fund that they offer to people who don't want to retire from making profits from investments that are violating people's human rights. So those three companies are all in their social choice fund, and especially given, as I said, our long history with Caterpillar and sort of the high degree of documentation of the way that Caterpillar bulldozers have been used to destroy orchards in Palestine, have been used to kill people, have been used to destroy homes. We thought that that was the most compelling target to begin with. So that's how the older Caterpillar campaign has been integrated into the larger Tia Kreft campaign.
Great. So it has been, I guess, 2 years since the last time we spoke.
I think so, yeah.
And of course, Tia Kreft stands for Teachers Insurance and Annuity Association College Retirement Equity Fund.
Correct. And their social choice fund is now the largest in the United States. I think we have about $11 billion in assets in their social choice fund alone.
Wow.
And their overall assets are something like $400 billion. So having an impact on them is really significant in the financial world. And I can talk a little bit, if it makes sense, about what happened with Caterpillar and what the significance of the decision was.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you about.
So Tia Kreft, in the last couple of months, divested $72 million in Caterpillar stock from their social choice fund. Now, they still hold about at least $100 million in their non-social choice funds. So they haven't divested from Caterpillar entirely. The way that they divested, what they've been telling us since we started this campaign and have been in conversation with them, is that they use MSCI. They create indexes for all kinds of different funds, but in particular, they have a specialization in socially responsible investment funds. And I believe that TI Cref is actually MSCI's largest client. And so what they had always been telling us was that, oh, we'd follow what MSCI tells us. Now, of course, we didn't entirely buy that because as MSCI's largest client, they could ask MSCI to create any kind of parameters they wanted. But nevertheless, we did do some work with MSCI directly trying to reach out to them to explain to them why we're concerned about Caterpillar's human rights record. What we found out was that in March of 2012 of this year, MSCI delisted Caterpillar from its index of accessible social choice funds. And as it turns out, they said that Caterpillar's involvement in Israel and Palestine in particular was one of the key factors that caused that to happen. Now, it wasn't the only factor. Caterpillar is well known for being bad on labor issues and bad on environmental issues as well. So it certainly wasn't the only factor, but it was a key factor. And the fact that MSCI acknowledged that was actually very, very significant. We had sort of expected that Caterpillar would be the first company that would get delisted, like I said, because of this long history and great degree of documentation in the human rights community around its problems. But we had not expected that any company would acknowledge that this was the reason why. So that was actually a very significant. And there's actually reporters who helped us uncover that as the story broke. So, but you know, it's very, very significant that MSCI, people think of us, we're advocates. This is the work that we do. I certainly don't think of us as dirty hippies, but there's some people who probably have that perception. But you know, this is a financial company that's making the same estimation that we are. So I think it's very, very significant in the sort of larger world of investment and finance that in Wall Street to say that Caterpillar is a problematic company because of what it's doing in Palestine. So anyway, what happened was that TI Cref then did follow MSCI's recommendation and divested itself from Caterpillar and Social Choice. It did not announce it in any way publicly, but we track on a month-to-month basis what their investments are. And when we discovered that the divestment had happened, we went public with it, and then it became a big story.
Yeah, that was very huge. When I read it, I couldn't believe it. Of course, MSCI stands for Morgan Stanley Capital International. They're actually a publicly traded company, a huge publicly traded company, revenue nearing $1 billion or just over $500 million. So you're right. This isn't just anybody saying, hey, this isn't good. These are the big guys here.
Right, exactly. And it is, as far as we know, it's the largest divestment around Israel-Palestine that's happened in the United States thus far.
Well, let me just say, before we go any further, congratulations. And congratulations to all
Thank
of your
you.
Supporters. This is a huge thing.
Thank you. And I should emphasize that JVP initiated this campaign, but in the 2 years since it's began, it's actually transformed into a much broader campaign. So we have amazing campaign partners, including the AFSC, the Quakers, an organization called Grassroots International, the Palestine Community Network, Global Exchange, and the U.S. Campaign to End the Occupation, and a local group here in New York called Adala New York. So all of these groups were really critical in terms of helping us to get to this victory.
Yeah, but JVP spearheaded it, right?
Correct, yeah.
And when did you become the executive director? Was it about that time?
I became the executive director in 2009, and the first thing I did was start looking for a campaign that we could embark upon organizationally, that our local groups could embark upon locally, and that we could really move in a national sense. We selected TI Cref as a target in the first 6 months or so that I became executive director.
That's really impressive.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing it, and thank you for getting all the help you did. I mean, you really did something great. I remember talking about it with you back 2 years ago, and it was just in its infancy, and thinking,
That's right.
and thinking about what happened now, just a couple of weeks ago. It's incredible. Stuff can be done.
Exactly. And I think it's very, very motivating for folks who are working. A lot of great campaigns that are happening out there in the United States now, but the victories thus far have been few and far between, and we are certainly gaining momentum. And so I think this is very motivating for a lot of folks and certainly for all of us. And I appreciate your support because a lot of people are very angry at us. I can tell you that too.
That's a given, of course.
Yeah.
Whenever people do something good for individuals, of course, there's the old Wall Street versus Main Street argument. What's good for Main Street is not good for Wall Street and vice versa. And that certainly is true.
Right. And of course, there's all the politics around support of Israel. And that's
absolutely.
That's
and it's kind of reaching a fever pitch. Are you going to go after the non-social funds?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. Absolutely. We think of this as an initial victory. It's certainly not the end of the campaign by any stretch of the imagination. I think we'll definitely be asking TI Cref to divest entirely from Caterpillar and the other companies. And of course, we'll also continue to work on the Social Choice Fund to get those other companies that are still in Social Choice to be divested from Social Choice as well and to continue to have them divest entirely. Eventually, what we'd love to see is that there would be occupation-free portfolios that would be available, not just at TI Cref, but in all kinds of pension funds all over the country.
Wow, occupation-free portfolios. That's amazing. Right, a new category.
Well, you know, yeah, it's a new category, but there's precedent, again, like Sudan and Burma. You know, there's been a lot of South Africa, of course, and there's been a lot of precedent for this kind of financial pressure being a really effective tool and really something that people want to engage in because they don't want to be profiting from these kinds of occupations as they reach retirement age.
Kind of related to this, if I can get your comment on something that happened just recently, somebody came out or an organization came out with a ruling or a legal ruling that stated that the occupations are legal.
Yeah, that's what's called the Levy Commission. It was a government-appointed commission. Of course, the government of Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu is quite right-wing, and so this Levy, who was the head of the commission, is himself very right-wing. I can't remember now. He may be a settler. I'm not sure. But yes, they came out with this finding that sort of legalized the occupation. I mean, of course, just because they say it doesn't make it so, especially according to international law. And I think in some ways it's very helpful and very clarifying for the rest of us who are working on this issue, because even for people who have hesitated to engage in things like BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, it just makes it so clear the path that Israel's on in terms of its intention to hold on to the territories. And there's always been this sort of smokescreen that although Israel has been building more settlements and all this sort of thing, it also at the same time has always sort of talked the nice talk about the peace process and creating the peace process and engaging the peace process, and there's no partner for peace and that's why it hasn't happened and that sort of thing. This commission sort of says, the peace process was actually in some ways a cover for them to entrench the occupation. There's something like 3 times the number of settlers now in the West Bank and East Jerusalem than there were at the beginning of the peace process. And so all of a sudden now Israel is saying, well, actually, we are intending to hold on to this contrary to international law. So I think, although it's infuriating, this decision, and actually the New York Times did a really excellent editorial on it, which to me was an indicator of how things are starting to change in terms of the public perception of this issue. It is infuriating in the short term, but I think in the long term, it's actually rather helpful.
What are you folks working on over at JVP right now?
Well, we're still regrouping for the TI Crest thing. We'd spent a lot of time on church divestment, both the Methodists and the Presbyterians this spring. We're considering divestment also from the same 3 companies that we have been targeting from TI Crest, so Caterpillar, Motorola, and Hewlett-Packard. So we put a lot of time and energy into supporting the Methodists and the Presbyterians in their divestment efforts. They've really been working, the Presbyterians especially, have been working in some cases since 2004, but really in a calculated way since 2008. They had these very sort of moderate, well-reasoned proposals about why these 3 companies did not match the church's socially responsible investment criteria. They had their entire finance committee of the church, which was behind the divestment proposal. And JVP has been partnering with the churches for quite a number of years on this because we understand that the accusations of anti-Semitism can be very, very powerful within the church, given the church's past as truly being anti-Semitic, and also threats about interfaith cooperation that are very powerful. So we wanted to stand as a Jewish voice that would encourage the church members that it actually was being a friend to the people of Israel to engage in this divestment, and that's not anti-Semitic in the least to insist on human rights principles in their investing, just like they have in numerous other cases around the world. So a lot of members of our youth wing were at the Methodist meeting in May and at the Presbyterian meeting in early July. A bunch of our rabbis were there. We really did a lot of work on it. Both bodies actually endorsed settlement boycotts, which is very exciting. And in the case of the Methodists, they defeated the divestment initiative. In the case of the Presbyterians, it was an incredible, heartbreaking squeaker. In the end, it was 333 votes to 331 votes with 2 abstentions that defeated the divestment initiative. We were quite disappointed by that, but we can see the direction that things are going. Just a few years ago, these kinds of resolutions couldn't even reach the floor, so we feel fairly confident that when they meet again in a couple of years, that it will pass. And clearly, the youth members of the church, most of the officials of the church, that sort of thing, all of them were behind this effort, and unfortunately, the sort of fear-mongering around interfaith relations and accusations of anti-Semitism did the work of narrowly defeating this resolution, but we can see how much we're moving in the right direction, so we did find that very encouraging. So these last 3 months between TI Crest and those 2 efforts, and then just the TI Crest shareholder meeting was this past Tuesday, have been incredibly busy. So now we're sort of regrouping and thinking what our next piece of strategy will be. But, you know, all of our local work is continuing. The work of our youth wing is continuing. The work of our rabbinical councils is continuing. So we're very, very busy.
Wow. So if any of the listeners would like to get involved with Jewish Voice for Peace, what's the best way for them to do it?
We would love that. Our website is www.jvp.org. Again, that's www.jvp.org. And I believe there's a tab right there on the homepage that says get involved or local organizing or that sort of thing. And it tells you exactly how you can get involved.
Right. It actually says organize locally. And that's where they would go right there.
Exactly.
Very impressive, Rebecca. Very impressive.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Rebecca Vilcomerson, the executive director of Jewish Voice for Peace. It's great to talk to you again. Congratulations
on
this.
Great to talk to you
again. And looking forward to talking to you in the future.
After the next victory.
Exactly. After the next victory. Whenever that will be. If it's 2 years,
hopefully
that's
won't
fine.
Be too long. Hopefully it won't be too long.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.